Texting between two different kinds of phones makes photos blurry, ugly, and security risky. Not just that, it also makes video calling, editing messages, or leaving a group nearly impossible. With WhatsApp, everyone can enjoy seamless messaging with the protection of end-to-end encryption. Streamline your messages across all devices on WhatsApp. Message privately with anyone you want. Click the banner or download now to learn more.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Sensi, your host, Jake and Gino Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, the father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barbaro. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I am doing good, fully clothed, and I'm ready to go, my friend.
Ask me how I'm doing.
How you doing?
Always making it happen, big man. Today's guest is the best-selling author of Culture to Culture. Now, company culture influences the roles and responsibilities of every employee within the organization. In his book, Culture to Culture, he presents a behavior-driven system to operationalize company culture and increase employee engagement. Man, those are some big words. He's got to be a doctor. So without further ado, Dr. Dante Vaughn, welcome to the show.
Jake, Gino, thanks for having me.
All right, give us a little background on yourself, how you got started in business and ultimately led up to your current venture.
Sure. So I've been in the world of business and leadership and culture for about 17 years now. You know, I started in operations and I worked in retail ops, logistics, and then I pivoted and started working more in heavy industrial and served many roles from the front line all the way to senior leadership and you know, understood and was drawn to the dynamics between people and how people come together and what makes them click and what are the factors that influences how, you know, people are able to be productive as and high performing, right? And I really navigated that coming up as a young man. You know, I grew up in Philly, born and raised, navigating the inner city. You know, I always played sort of like Switzerland. I could have ran with the street guys. I could have ran with the nerds, right? I was right in between and I was always fascinated by how the dynamics of groups. And that really is what led me academically down that path of just understanding just people dynamics, the science of people and that is what really motivated me to study, you know, organizational leadership and culture principles. And that led me all the way down to the doctoral path of, you know, exploring those specific factors that influences learning and development and how do you just bring a group of people who are all different and unique and make them function effectively to drive success in a business, right? And that's what led me to meet my partner Randall and Sean, and we started to really build out this vision around what we call culture performance management in the book. How do you operationalize culture and not treat it like this arbitrary, you know, intangible thing in business? It's something that's real. How people engage.
Define operationalize for the folks.
You know, when I talk about operationalize, I mean it in the context of systematically, proactively managing company culture, right? You don't have to treat culture as this arbitrary, intangible thing that just kind of evolves organically. And if I have some donut parties and some streamers and everyone feels happy, then I'm okay. That's not how you manage and impact company culture. So how do we systematically approach defining, implementing, measuring culture in a way that really starts to impact how you strategically improve it?
Dr. D, someone once told me, seek and ye shall find. And, you know, Jake and I over the last few weeks have been really blessed to have the last four or five podcasts about things that we've been, I wouldn't say struggling about, but growing. One was on branding. One was on core values. One was on scaling. And now from culture to culture, I got the book here.
We need help everywhere, don't we?
It's amazing how, you know, you sit and you pray and you say, well, what's my next step? What do I do? We get you booked on. I read the book. I'm like, thank you. Because this is what I sort of needed, because we're trying to build an amazing culture. And we've done that through our Jake and Gino education. The community is phenomenal. Over 40,000 units closed, over $2 billion in assets under management that the students have done. I'm truly proud of that. They come to our events. They're fired up. I guess we got lucky and it's a ton of work, but I'm excited to really dive into what culture performance management is and the myths of company culture and how do people take that next step into building culture. So everyone out there, seek and you shall find. When you're looking for something, it doesn't magically appear. It comes into your life because you're really focusing on it. So cultural performance management, can you just like really define that for us?
When we talk about CPM, right, there are some what we call the seven pillars of culture performance management. There are sequential steps and actions that organizations can take to effectively define, implement, measure, and really sustain a desired culture. It doesn't happen arbitrarily. So when we talk about culture performance management, that's what we're speaking to, that system. And we take a very methodical approach to how we guide an organization through understanding what do they want as a desirable culture? What are the specific actions that leaders should be taking to foster that culture? Because we believe leaders own the culture, not the other way around, right? And so how do we build a standard language and understanding and consciousness around that culture that you're trying to drive? How do you build action around that? And then how do you effectively measure it and refine it? And as part of that is, look, just because you have a desired culture, that culture is perpetuated by your leaders and how they behave, how they interact, and how they make decisions. And assuming that any leader can actually practice those behaviors automatically is asinine. How do you foster learning and practice of the behaviors that embody those core values that connect to your culture in the first place? And how do you do that in a way that they have an opportunity to refine it and improve it over time? That's proactive management of company culture, not taking in a lagging indicator of an employee survey 6 months or twice a year and say, hey, how do you feel about the culture arbitrarily that you know nothing about that we're trying to drive just based on your own personalized experience, and then try to synthesize those findings and react to them. In many scenarios, that's why you see stagnation in your employee engagement results, because it's a reactionary approach to try to build strategies that oftentimes are circumstantially driven by an employee's perspective, and the damage has already happened. The negative experience has already happened. How do we get in front of that? And that's what we focus on with CPM.
In the book, I think you say this is all common sense two generations ago. And once the corporations broke the trust, it ended. And my problem is we're getting stupider as a society. Our educational system sucks. It's getting worse. They're dumbing us down. Everything that's common sense in this book, it seems like revelations. It's a great book because it's stuff that we're not taught. That's the problem that I have with this stuff. It's really commonsensical. Two generations ago, there was trust between the corporation and between the individual. Once you start having these massive layoffs, and I understand individuals don't trust corporations anymore, and that's where it goes. But I want to read these seven pillars for everybody. I want them to write it down, and we can go through them real quick. The first one is select, number one, everybody. The second one is define. The third one, connect. Four is learn. Five is practice. Six is measure. And seven is refine. Now, if you didn't get them, go buy the book, write them down. If not, go back and read them again. And I want Dr. D to go through all seven real quick and how we can start implementing and how we can start, you know, creating our culture and taking control of it.
No doubt. So when we talk about select, we're talking about selecting a value system. Look, we all got to be grounded or rooted in a shared set of values. Every culture you can think of inside an organization and outside an organization has a set of shared values, because those values become the foundation of the standard by which everyone shows up for one another, how they engage, how they interact every day. So you need a system by which you have these values rooted, right? And most organizations, man, I could blow the dust off of the picture frame sitting in their conference room that have all these vague values on the wall. Those have been prescribed as, hey, here are the values that we believe are important for our business to thrive or succeed. You need that value system. So first you got to blow the dust off of it and understand what those values are. And how they're defined, because oftentimes those definitions are stagnant or vague or unclear. The second pillar you spoke about was define. Just because you have values and some generic definition behind those values doesn't mean people can act on them. You need definition in the context of behavioral standards and expectations that you have for your leaders. How do I show up and embody trust, integrity, inclusiveness, right? If those are my core values, then what does that mean to me? Now, we go as far as defining down to the root of the role or responsibility of an individual. To be a CFO in an organization, integrity looks like this. To be an operator, integrity looks like this. So that definition becomes the standards of practice and how we expect everyone to show up and interact with one another and rooted in all decisions that are made. So you have selection and definition. Most organizations never exceed those two pillars. They think they have.
But does it vary in between roles though? Because I guess I'm getting a little confused here, because a CFO, you know, versus somebody that works in the field or whatever, should their definition of integrity differ, or is it how it's applied?
Applied, not the core definition. Yeah. Integrity means something to everyone, but as an organization, integrity means X. However, how do I act on that? How do I exhibit that in my day-to-day role? And that's what we're speaking to in terms of that level of definition. Because look, if I'm a frontline operator and I'm moving widgets from point A to point B, your broad definition of integrity in terms of compliance and honestness and fiscal responsibility, that means shit to me, right? But if you tell me that integrity means this in terms of, look, if I have to document that I log 20 widgets per hour, then I'm a document, I log 20 widgets. And if I my goal was 25, I'm a write negative 5 and I'm explain why. You have to break it down behaviorally.
Yeah, I get it. I just fear that it's like you don't want to go too narrow with it sometimes as well, because it's important, because defining what the integrity looks like in that role. But then it's like almost a slippery slope, because then it's like, well, you didn't tell me to be integrity, you know, I have integrity here, but you said it here. So
yeah, sure. I think there's
some common sense that comes into it too. I'm not trying to get too.
I mean, splitting hairs. The idea is to take a very vague, sort of arbitrary, almost marketized definition of what it means, and you're trying to make it more tangible and real.
Yeah, I get it. Individual.
That's all right, and that just gets us to pillar two. Now we have to connect it, right? Because look, where does culture happen? Do you?
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clear skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clear skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.